When I was growing up, we had in our house an old paperback book called Who Was That? And it was just a book of pictures of actors, character actors, arranged by type, from the silent movies to, I guess, the early 60s. And you saw all these actors that you'd seen a million times on in old movies and then on television shows. Hey, look, there's this guy who's now playing Dennis the Menace's father. Who was that? And we would go through this book, our whole family. My dad would watch a movie and go, you see that guy, third from the left? What other movie was he in? You know, we'd play these games. Oh, and it was my goal as a kid to say, I want to be one of those guys. I want to be one of those actors where everybody goes, who was that?
Yeah.
Well, and now I'm sitting here talking to you, James Morrison, character actor, who is a very familiar face to, I think, a lot of our listeners because they've seen you on 24 or they've seen you on Space Above and Beyond. What all have we seen you on?
Oh, yeah. Lots of TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I get, hey, you're that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
Hey, you're that guy. And you can't disagree.
No. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
I am.
I am that guy.
Thank you.
Hi, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 224, Just Showing Up. You probably recognize James Morrison from his four seasons playing Bill Buchanan on 24, or from his recurring roles on Private Practice and Hawthorne, or even going back to his role as Colonel McQueen on Space Above and Beyond. But James Morrison, the actor, is also James Morrison, the director, and he's putting the finishing touches on his documentary film, Showing Up, about the art, the craft, and mainly the experience of what it's like to audition. James showed me part of the movie, and it's really wonderful. And then he told me how this homage to the working class actor came to be.
I was sitting in the green room of the Old Globe in San Diego with actor Tom Lacey, character actor, another of those guys.
Uh-huh.
And we were... I don't know what we were doing. We were smoking and sitting in our tights and, you know. And he told me this great story about how he had... it was a horror story that we all actors have, an audition story. And I said, you know, I kind of ruminated on that for a couple of days. And I said, wow, it'd be so great to make a thing, I don't know, a book or a, to chronicle these stories. But coming from the actors themselves, because they're such great storytellers, not a secondhand thing, you know. Nothing that was born of the stuff of legend or, you know. Mm-hmm. I sat on it for about 20 years and finally decided to make a movie because we needed the actors talking about themselves.
Right, right.
And at a certain point in our first round of interviews, and I interviewed Pat Hingle first. He's my father to me. And I thought I wanted to sort of christen the project with him. And also to give us a historical perspective, because he, you know, back in the Actors Studios days of the 50s, you know. Then I talked to a friend, Jack O'Brien, the director, and decided we were only going to have one director. Some people who do both things, but he's just a director. He doesn't act.
Right.
So I wanted to get his perspective, but also because he's a very poetic soul and very sensitive and very bright, and he sort of showed us where the film was going to go. We really didn't know what the narrative line was going to be until we talked to Jack. And then we went, you know what, this is the end of the film. We want to start with the structure being taking you through the day, through the event. The audition is the event. And then sort of blossom as we progress into this all-encompassing, this is how you live your life, sort of self-help thing, right. but not in a pretentious sort of way. Just here it is,
yeah.
And if you follow these simple steps,
yeah,
you'll be happier, and everyone around you will be happier too. And what better way to? That's really, if you approach an audition as an act of service, you've taken all the heartache and headache out of it. You're just going there to help them out, you know?
Yeah.
And that's ultimately, I think, the message of the film.
Well, and it has these. You just showed me, I don't know, 20 minutes of clips from the thing, and it looks really interesting. I mean, if you know, if you are an actor, if you know actors, if you watch actors, I think folks are going to love this movie because it's just actors talking about what they do and not talking about it in an artsy-fartsy way. Talking about it in the nuts and bolts, here's how you go about doing your daily gig as an actor.
And it's not so much how to do an audition.
No.
It's what you go through from the process of, you know, getting the call for the audition. We take you through the preparation. We take you to the room, to the waiting room. We take you in the room. We take you through the process of getting out of the room, which is sometimes as difficult as going into the room. And then you know, we sort of discuss... I won't disclose the ending, but you know, it ends up being the audition ends up being more of an allegory for something greater that we all do.
Yeah.
The cool thing about this, though, is that when you talk to even people in the business that aren't actors, no one really knows what an audition is.
No,
I mean they know that we walk into a room and we walk out and we either have the role or not.
Yeah,
I mean. But they don't know the nuances that we have to navigate to get the job, you know.
Well, and they're not. It's not mysterious either. I mean, it's you know, we all try to figure it out every day. But it is, you go in there, you do your thing, and you have lots of. I mean, anybody who's ever gone for a job has experienced this kind of rejection that comes with not getting the job. Well, actors do this. All the time. For a living.
They do it for a living.
That's they get rejected for a living. It's almost like a baseball player. You don't get hits for a living.
That's right. You really only get... that's why a 300 average is really good.
Yeah.
Because that's less than a third of the times that you were at bat. And, you know, I mean, they really prize that batter that can do that. And so the actor's average is even less.
Yeah.
I've always said that... When I get a job and I start to get, you know, not a bad paycheck, sometimes better than others, you say, you know, I'm not really getting paid for this job. I'm getting paid for the 50 other jobs that I didn't get on the way to this one.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, and I know that one of the ways that I survive, you know, the rejection is that I consider the audition itself to be the gig. And then if they actually give me the job afterwards, great. That feels like gravy to me. It's like, oh, good, they'll actually give me a check for what I just did and all the other things I just did. But it allows me to not feel bad about the audition because I just think, oh, that was the gig. That was the job. I had it. I did it already.
Well, see, you're a much better man than I am because I feel like it's mostly an imposition. Because, you know, most of the time, let's face it, we're called to audition for things, unless we get to a certain point in our lives after doing it for 30 years or so, where you go, you know what, I'm going to pass on this. I can't, it doesn't light a fire behind my eyes. I can't, it doesn't light a fire anywhere.
Yeah.
And you know, the other day I turned down something. I said, you know, it's going to be hard enough to retch my way through this thing, but I'll kill myself if it goes to series because it's so dreadful. So sometimes we have to audition for things that we don't really want out of desperation, and that's just no way to live, you know.
No, and that's sort of the mark of success as an actor is the ability to turn stuff down.
How desperate you don't have to be.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, exactly. Well, and you talked a little bit about the ending of the movie getting somewhat allegorical, and that was the thing that spoke to me just from the minute I heard about the movie and the minute I heard the title showing up. I didn't even know who said the quote. I'll have to Google it.
Woody Allen. Yeah.
So much.
That's like 80. I think the quote is 80% of life is showing up.
Just showing up and getting and just being there, putting yourself out there. And of course, actors have to do that every day, all the time. But everybody has to do that, and not just in their jobs, and just in everything, really.
It's sort of a precursor to that quote. I think it was John Huston said, 95% of a director's job is in casting. Wasn't that what the quote is? Something like that? Some percentage, whatever percent. Some directors it would be not at 5%. What, you know, it depends.
And some directors, it would be 100%. I'm now going to be back here by the cameras. Yeah,
that's right. You'll never see me again. In fact, I'll be in my trailer.
Right.
But so, I think it's important to note that process is so important to so many people, and it's often you know, sort of. Well, like the shot itself too. I mean, you've been on set where you'll wait 3 hours for them to light and this, and then they'll rush to get the shot, and you go, "Hello,
yeah,
they're actually the human beings watching this aren't going to be moved by, yeah, you know, that shadow as much as they are by the human experience. You know?
And that's why I think that people are going to like the movie so much, is because it, yes, it's actors talking about auditions and how they get a job, but it's so... It operates on so many other levels and so many universal levels.
I think it's important, too, to know that it's not an inside joke. I mean, it's not an inside... You don't have to be have a special knowledge of the vernacular or the experience of the or the profession to get this. I mean, it's we always either said, okay, now who are we talking to in this moment? Are we talking to the young actor who needs to hear something to encourage them to continue? Yeah. Or are we talking to the person who's never done an audition who might want to say, you know what, I that's what I do. I do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, and you see so many. I mean, it's you don't really have any A-list stars in this movie, but you have a lot of great familiar characters. Just as you were showing me the clips, I was going, who is that? Who is that? I was playing the game I played when I was a kid, and you see all these well-known character actors that you've seen a million times, going through the exact same problems that you as a young actor or a really unknown actor go through.
I remember you saying numerous times, hey, there's that guy.
Yeah. There's that guy again.
This is David Koechner. You're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company's podcast. You just learned something, didn't you?
Where can you see the RSC? Tonight, Wednesday, March 23rd, 2011. If it is, in fact, Wednesday, March 23rd, 2011, as you're listening to this, you can see us either at the Hanover Theater in Worcester, Massachusetts, or the Vlaardingen Theater in Staatsgehorsel. Or actually, it could well be the Staatsgehorsel Theater in Vlaardingen. Anyway, the point, it's a theater in a city in Holland. The point is, this week we're in both New England and the Nether regions, the Netherlands, in Holland, this week performing both The Complete World of Sports Abridged and The Complete Works of William Shakespeare Abridged Revised. Then, for the rest of this week and this month and next month, we'll be in New York, Iowa, Minnesota, Illinois, San Jose, California, the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C., and we will be doing our first national tour of New Zealand in May and June 2011. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific venue and ticket information. So let's talk a little bit about you, not only actor, director, but your composer, yoga teacher, yoga master, big twit.
I'm a twit. I have some fine twit friends.
Well, you do have some fine twit friends, and that's how actually we met, because we don't actually know each other, but until we met through Twitter.
And then we met at school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right, at school. Our kids go to the same school, which is why I knew of you, I guess. And then, of course, I recognized your face. I went, oh, there's that guy.
But also, I've known your work for years as in Reduced.
Oh, okay.
From the first time I saw you. Oh. Oh, man. I said, that's what I want to be for, you know, that's what I want to do for a living. Fantastic.
When I grow up, this is what I want to
do. That's right, yeah.
We're both lucky we get to do what we do. But there's something about, since we met on Twitter and since the movie's called Showing Up, you and your tweets are very, very real, very authentic, very you. And you're very clearly from your tweets, very lefty, liberal in your politics. Do you find that, is that a risky thing? I know that I'm the Twitterer for the Reduced Shakespeare Company, but I'm trying to put on a more family-friendly face I'm trying to put on a more universal face for my audience members who might not agree with me politically. Do you find that that's an issue for you when you are honest and real about your politics?
No, I don't. I mean, I admire that about you and the way you've, you know, some, you know, it's an interesting social networking is very interesting. We have to fashion it to suit our needs.
Yeah.
And of course, you don't want to alienate your audience.
Right.
I think my audience is a little less specific.
Yeah.
Than yours. I mean, you're going to go to a town and do your live show, and you're going to, you know, you have to. It's a different. We have different focus.
That's right.
If I happen to offend somebody, and I engage people sometimes with a differing opinion, mm-hmm. but I think what's most important is that we are not only true to our beliefs, no matter what they are, political or spiritual or, you know, what whatever they are, mm-hmm. art, beliefs about art or love, we have to be true to them, but we also have to be honest about them.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I sort of pride myself in not being delusional. I mean,
Yeah.
And also because of certain personal events that have happened in my family in the last year and a half, I really don't have time for the luxury of neuroses. And I think that, you know, as I said, you know, yesterday, mm-hmm. I think I even tweeted about that. Mm-hmm. It just was a sudden realization. I think that's a dubious luxury.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, what you're talking about, if someone reacts to that input, I think that's their neuroses yeah. reacting rather than their truest selves, their souls. It's this persona that they have to react with.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I try to avoid that.
Well, and you talk about it in the movie as well. Jack O'Brien, the well-known Broadway director from the Old Globe, talks about these are actors you don't want to have a drink with or dinner with. Why would you want to work with them? You know, sometimes an actor comes into a room, somebody tweets a tweet, so no matter where you put yourselves out, you reveal yourself. And everywhere, no matter where you're going, you are revealing yourself, so it's best to reveal your true best self.
Not only that, but you're always going to meet people who cannot give that of themselves, therefore they're not going to react to that in somebody else. I mean, they don't live on that level.
Yeah.
You're going to attract like-minded kindred spirits.
Yeah.
And if that's what you're after.
Yeah.
If it's not what you're after, then go for something else and, you know, right. work that route. And there's no saying which is better, but that's the route that I've decided to take.
B.D. Wong says, you know, auditions are important not only for the producers to see the actor's work, but for the actor to come into the room and go, who am I working with? Who are these people I'm going to be working with? And that's important. That is part of the actor's power as well, is to check out who you're working with and say, you know what? I don't want to work with these people.
Yeah.
Whatever the gig is.
It's something we underestimate in terms of the toolbox that we have is the tool that we use to know whether or not we want to do this job. I mean, we have, in other words, it's the difference between operating from a position of weakness and a position of strength.
Yeah.
We ultimately decide whether or not we want to do the job. We're not their mercy. And that's where the difference comes in terms of the employer. And I think going back to what you just said, it's the same thing when you're talking about your audience. Mm-hmm. If you feel like you have to be a certain thing to them in order for them to like you, mm-hmm. for instance,
yeah.
and I did that quotation mark with my fingers.
Yes. We all saw that. Yes, go ahead.
And I, you know, you have to be careful not to become something that you think they want to see,
yeah.
at forsaking who you really are.
Right.
And I mean, I'm not saying that's what you do. because you're doing a different thing. I mean,
yeah.
seriously, you're like
right.
to me, you're like the you guys are like the best bluegrass Shakespeare band there is. You know what I mean? And you've got to do a certain thing. So
yeah.
that's your focus. Mm-hmm. I'm a little less specific, I think. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm making commentary where you perhaps it isn't necessary for you to do that.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your audition stories via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on our website podcast page, and you can post reviews at our podcast page on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks as always to Webmaster Matt Rippey, aging ingenue Matthew Croke, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Joe Langford. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to David Koechner, who can be seen in Simon Pegg's and Nick Frost's alien comedy, Paul. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 224, 670 seconds of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. I am definitely putting that on the poster. The best bluegrass Shakespeare band there is. James Morrison, that guy from that show.
Brilliant.
The This podcast is a production of the Reduce Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reduceshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less.